President Obama's 2015 budget request includes a lot of money to improve training for employees across government, and especially in the senior executive service. The goal of that training is a more capable and a more engaged workforce. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President of ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department. And, Jeff, first of all, great to have you on the program as always. You're writing on your Chief HRO blog about this emphasis in training, and you're calling this maybe the end of the dark ages in training in government. You're quite optimistic for something that's just a budget request, my friend.
Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. I always enjoy it. I'm optimistic because the good thing about this is that federal agencies are now hearing directly from the White House that employee training is important, and that is something that the president is willing to put in his budget. So I think that means that some agencies are going to look at this and say, wow, maybe training isn't the first thing we should start to cut, and maybe we should invest in our workforce a bit more. So even if the president's budget doesn't become reality, and you and I probably would not take a bet on the president's budget becoming the budget of the land.
I'm not taking money on that.
I wouldn't bet a penny on it, but it does send a clear message from the White House that the president is interested in investing in the federal workforce. And anything that sends that message, in my view, is a good thing, and I'm happy to see it. And I think it may mean that some agencies are going to think twice about cutting their training budgets and will actually spend some money on getting their workforce trained. So I think it's a good development, no matter what happens with the budget itself.
Your message about training is the same message that I convey when people outside the Beltway call me and say, what does this all mean, particularly about the budget request, and that is the likelihood of it happening the way that it's written is zero or less, if that's possible. But what it does is it establishes priorities and it sends signals to people in both the executive and legislative branch what the administration wants to fight for and what they want Congress to fight for, their allies. Doesn't matter about the party or who's president or whatever. And so that message, it strikes me, and you write about this in your post, finally a new emphasis on training, that message may wind up being, obviously it's not going to be as effective as if agencies get this money, but it may be almost as effective, Jeff. Is that not true?
I think you're spot on. It may be almost as good because agencies have money that is discretionary, that they can spend on what they want to spend. And training is one of the things that they typically cut. When you go to somebody in a federal agency and say, cut your budget, the two things they whip out first are travel and training, and they cut those. And it's kind of a short-sighted view of things. So I think that what we may see here is they will take some of that discretionary money and invest it in their workforce. And my view on this has always been that employee training is incredibly important. There are a lot of people who really need either refresher training or they need training for new things in their line of work. And when you cut the training, it looks like a savings, but what you're doing is you're trading today's savings for tomorrow's capabilities. And so you end up hurting the agency in the long run by not investing in the workforce. And if a federal agency is going to say, as you and I have heard them say until we're sick of it, people are our most important resource. If they're going to say that, this is a great example of where they can invest in that most important resource and actually devote a few dollars to training their employees.
You write about my colleague Jason Miller's report on federalnewsradio.com. He quoted Catherine Archuleta, the OPM director at NTEU's legislative conference last week, talking about wanting to share information, create a dialogue around what really works in training. And you link that, Jeff, to the work that you and some of your colleagues at ICF International did on three research questions around what really works in training to getting results in organizations. Tell me about those questions and tell me about what you learned from asking people those questions, Jeff.
Well, the questions were, what were the best examples of organizations that could measure the impact of leader development programs? what specific techniques those organizations needed to link leader development to organizational performance metrics, and then could those best practices be transplanted into other organizations? And what we found was a variety, and this study, by the way, was done by my colleagues, Ethan Sanders, Lisa Gable, and Kate Harker. And what they learned was a variety of things. First is that it absolutely is possible to link the outcomes of the training, in this case it was leader development, to organizational success measures. They also found that it was really rare to find organizations that did it well. They also found that people who actually do evaluation well say that it takes far fewer resources than the people who don't do it think it takes. So people who don't do training evaluation think it's unbelievably expensive, takes a lot of money, takes a lot of people. And the people who did it well said, no, that's actually not true at all. A really robust evaluation system isn't that expensive. The other things were that – oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to talk about the measurement piece of this because I see that you write about this on your blog, and the measurement piece of this is pervasive throughout all of the findings of this. And that's one of the next ones is that the organizations that are thinking about measurement and are planning for it have a lot easier time of doing it. And that seems like a no-brainer on the surface, but it must not be if it was something that you had to list as a finding.
Yeah, it's not something that I guess it's something that we found was you would think would be kind of a no-brainer, and it turns out it is, and that's that organizations that already have a culture of measuring things are very used to the idea that maybe they should measure the effectiveness of training, not just do the training, but actually measure whether or not the training works. And they don't always do that. But what we found is that organizations that have that kind of culture buy into the idea of evaluating training much more easily than the people who don't measure their own mission very much.
You studied 29 techniques, and one of the finding is that of those, there are a lot that will work in different organizations, but it's not just a matter of let's do all 29 of these. There's a pick and choose process there, right?
Absolutely. There are some things that work in some organizations that would never work in another organization's culture. So when you're going to do training evaluation, you really do have to tailor it to the mission of the organization, to the culture of the organization, to the types of data that are available to the organization. So there are a lot of things that you have to look at to decide what really fits your organization and what doesn't fit.
How do you evaluate that, Jeff?
You do it based on looking at what you're trying to measure and then looking at what your organization will and will not stomach. You know, I've worked in organizations where if you get into really heavy data, they just turn off. It's just not, data is not their thing. I've also worked in organizations where they love numbers. And the more quantitative you can get, the happier they are. So that's what you have to look at, is you have to look at your culture, look at what will work, look at what your mission is. You have to look at what kind of data you have to tell you whether or not training worked. There are some organizations where they don't really measure their mission enough to know whether or not training is actually working or whether it's working or not. So those are all things you have to look at.
The bottom line here is, as you and I have discussed, this is a budget request. There are big pieces of it that aren't likely to happen. There are some pieces of it that are likely to happen. If I'm inside an agency, as you used to be, how do I look at what is in this budget request and say, I'm going to take Jeff up on that idea of the message and try to apply some of those techniques now and leverage at least the emphasis if I can't leverage the resources?
I think what you do is you look at your discretionary budget and you start looking at what is going to be useful for you and what's not. Training is usually useful for organizations, but what people are not doing and what I would strongly encourage them to do is to actually evaluate the effectiveness of the training they're doing. When you develop a new training program, build an evaluation component into it. So you know, did this training work? Did it do what we said we would do? And is this program a good investment? At DLA, one of the requirements I put in every new human capital program we implemented was an evaluation component. Do we know that this is actually working? And if it's not working, how do we fix it? And if we can't fix it, then we kill it.
It's great insight as always, Jeff. It's on the chiefhro.com blog, and we'll connect it at federalnewsradio.com. Great to talk to you as always, my friend.
Great talking with you too, Fran.